Hello, hello. This is the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview business entrepreneurs, people related in business and the technology sector, and we give you great content, but also great value to inspire you on your goals and your values. Today, we have a special guest, Harry Ogburn. He is the owner of Ogburn's Hissen Solutions. He has helped a business development process that helps entrepreneurs and owners, business owners, learn the importance of working on your business instead of being caught up in the day-to-day grind. His unique system and personal devotion to the development of others has contributed to the success of hundreds of small to large business venture. And we got Terry on the show to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you, Santiago. I appreciate you very much.
So I first found you through another podcast. And when I first listened to you, it was a subject that I really was getting into and really are interested in, is having systems in your business.
Exactly.
And of course, I read your biography, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Growing up, I was a military brat, and most people refer to us as brat, you know, but people don't maybe not understand. Brat means born, raised, and transferred. So you grew up in the, like I grew up in the Air Force, I was just like my dad. I, you know, got orders, I was moved, I was transferred just like the rest of the family was. But it did enable my dad to put good work ethics in us and, you know, military background and things like that. So growing up in business, I got fired out of the car business, and so I decided to open my own air conditioning company, like most technicians do. You know, most people, oh, I'm get mad at the boss and I'll open up something, you know, just go up again. And I never understood how much it went into building a business. But fortunate for me, I had a lot of mentors. I was able to develop mentorships and things like that. And they helped me understand the importance of working on your business. And then I was introduced to books like The E-Myth Revisited and things like, you know, books that teach you that type of stuff. And so then it just became natural to me to create systems and processes and things that help you organize your business so you can work on it, so you have more freedom to be in it. I'm like most of, when I was in the air conditioning business, I was probably like most of your young entrepreneurs out there working 10, 12, 14 hours a day, never seem to have enough time to get everything done that you need to get done. And you just get to the end of the week and you're exhausted. And I often describe it like a hamster wheel. You know, you get on this hamster wheel and you work and work and work. And you step off and then you say, oh, got to get back on it. You know, so teaching people how to work on their business became a part of my life. And I developed processes and standards that can work. And I worked for companies like Radio Shack, did turnaround stores for them. I took a company public, was one of five people that was brought in from the startup at a kitchen table. And you can imagine what it would take to go through all the way to an IPO. That took us 2.5 years. We invested about $5 million and we sold it for $13 million. It's not a bad return on your investment for 2.5 years worth of work. So a lot of education, a lot of my systems, they work in big companies, Century 21, Metrocall Paging, AT&T Wireless, a lot of big companies. And then in 2005, I decided to start my own. And I knew it was going to be small businesses that turned this country around, got it back on its feet. So I just focused on that segment of the market, and that's what I've done now for the last 15 years.
Yeah, I was seeing your profile that you worked with Radio Shack, AT&T, and it's something that many people don't understand. Like in a business, you need systems. How important is to have a system in your business?
To me, it's everything from the time, you know, how you want your people to clock in, or how you need a policy procedures manual, you need job descriptions. And some of your listeners out there will say, well, Terry, I'm too small. No. It doesn't matter how big or how small you are. If there's if you have to do accounts payables, you know, if you have to pay bills, that's called accounts payables. And you can go online, you can figure out what an accounts payable person does, match it to what you're supposed to be doing, and voila, you have a job description for accounts payable, accounts receivable, cook, bottle washer, it doesn't matter. But if you're all of them, then you have to know what those tasks represent. You need to know that. You also need to know, like with me, I turn my organizational chart upside down, meaning the customer is the boss, and that's a whole different system that I've come to learn over the time. And you know yourself, if a customer asks you, like one of my companies is Marine Max, and I tell them all the time, if a customer walks in and wants a yellow boat with a green bimini top, you're going to make it happen. So why don't you just go ahead and let them be the boss, and then just treat them like the boss walked in the room when they came into your store or whatever.
Yeah, one of the first things that woke me up about systems and businesses, I watched this movie about McDonald's and how they created a system. It was called the Speedy System. And it just fluctuated really well. It was beyond its time. And look at them now. They're like a huge billion-dollar company.
I'm glad you brought that up, San Diego, if I can camp out onto that for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
The E-Myth is written by Michael Gerber. I suggest that every one of your listeners go get this book. It's now called The E-Myth Revisited. But that whole – Michael Gerber's whole business is focused on McDonald's. Did you know that?
Did not know.
Yep. He did a total deep dive into Ray Kroc, who is the founder of McDonald's. Ray Kroc was a cup salesperson, milkshake machine salesperson. And anyway, the bottom line is that he wanted to build a franchise that people would actually stand in line to buy. People don't realize that McDonald's is not in the hamburger business. They're in the real estate business. Okay, every piece of ground you see a McDonald's on, they own the ground. It's leased to the franchise owner for 99 years. Another thing that the franchise owner is not in the hamburger business either. Do you know what type of business they're in?
Which company again?
McDonald's. Oh. The franchise owner of you own the McDonald's franchise. It's sitting on the property, their property. What business are you in?
Real estate.
Nope. You're in the kids' business.
Wow.
Everything that McDonald's does is focused around the kids, whether it be the small ones or the teenagers. If an adult shows up and has lunch with them or dinner or whatever, that's great. Okay, but that's not their market. They put their stores in, conducive to junior high schools, and elementary schools.
That's incredible, which I did not know about that because I watched that Founder movie like 3 or 4 times. But that's a good point. I have to read the E-Myth for sure. When you see a business owner starting a business, how should he take it on?
Well, the first thing I would do is make sure that they have plenty of capital. Okay. Now, cash flow is not capital. Okay. A lot of young entrepreneurs think that just because they're churning money means they're making a profit. They're not. I took on a client a few years back, and he'd been in business about 2.5 years, and the result was that he wasn't making any money. He was deep in debt, and so I explained to him how he got there. And it was through borrowing off this, getting his credit card, getting a few sales in, paying off this credit card, borrowing a little money here. And he kept doing all this stuff, and he just kept rotating cash. But he wasn't making any money. First of all, you have to make sure your products and services are profitable. I worked with a photographer who was selling her headshots for X number of dollars and found out once we did a cost analysis on it, she was actually selling it below cost. It was costing her more to do the headshot than it was to actually make a profit on it. So we have to understand the numbers. When you're working on your business, you understand the numbers. You project them out. You project your budgets. You do all of that in advance, so you know that you can withstand the month or the year or whatever it is. Then research everything there is to know about that business. Even if you've already launched your business, do a deep dive on everything that, find out what others do, find out how others have approached it, find ways to do it better. I have a rule in my world where if we study what others do and we do it better,
wow.
Just do it better. That's all you have to do. Just make your, they say the mousetrap's always better, but sometimes it's not. Like for an example, adding value to your product. Your product should be worth 10 times the value of that you're selling it for. So if you're selling your product for $300, your product should be worth $3,000. you know, then you have less buyer's remorse, because if you're adding value, people don't like salespeople. So if you approach your business like a salesperson would approach it, you're going to be turning your customers off. People do not, better than 80% of the people start their buying process online. So now you should be more like third-party validation. You should make sure that everything you know is validated online, because they're going to go check it. You, before I came on this show, you told me before we jumped on the show that you did a deep dive, maybe not a deep dive, but you looked at me, you looked at my background, you looked at me. That's how we are. It doesn't matter what Wagner had to say about me. It didn't matter what that was. You still wanted to go and find out if I'm the real deal or if I'm just, you know, some kind of, you know, guy that jumps on podcasts all the time.
Here's another planning note that I figured. Can you tell us your first business when you started as a kid? I believe it was a paper route business.
It was. I was about 12 years old, 10 or 12 years old. I don't quite remember now, but I wanted a bike. That's what I wanted, Santiago. All my friends had a bike, and you could travel. Back in my day, you could go. We had perimeters. You know, you had this far streets to go this far. It wasn't like you had to stay in the neighborhood. You could travel, but you couldn't travel unless you had a bike. So I went to my dad and I said, I want a bike. So I had to research the cost. How am I going to pay for it? I said, well, my friends have a paper route, so I'm going to jump on and get a paper route. So I had to have little baskets on the back, you know, remember, so you could throw the papers. Well, I had to figure out how many people I had to have in a route in order for me to be able to pay my mom back for the money, because my mom would be the banker of the family. So, and I made a nickel per customer. So I hustled up and I got, paid off my bike and then got rid of my paper route. But I had to produce a business plan to my dad before, not a, you know, one like I would write today, but one that, you know, made sense to him. But you know what it really was? He wanted to see how much commitment I had in getting, you know, how much commitment I wanted to do for that bike.
How important is to create a business plan?
Oh, I wouldn't start any business without one. And again, that could be, you can check with any of the clients that I work with. Every one of my clients, whether they're a single person or they have a business, we all have a business plan. You have to have one. And a business plan is more than just the numbers and that stuff. It's how you're going to approach the market. It's how you're going to handle conflicts. It's everything is laid out for you. Then you need an operations manual. And an operations manual is your rule book. It's how you're going to operate your business. Now, the typical operations manual has 8 things in it. First is your development plan, how you're going to develop your business, the rules, you know, structure, infrastructure of your business. Then you need a strategic plan, it's your action plan. Then you need an organizational strategy, how you're going to organize your company. You need job descriptions. You need checklists on how to perform those job descriptions. You need budget and performa. You have to have your money. You have to have a policy and procedures manual. And then you need a direct marketing plan and a social media marketing plan, so you can how you're going to get your business. And that business plan makes all that come true. So if you get X, it equals Y equals profit. That's how that works. But I'll give your listeners right now 4 things. If they'll just do these 4 things, I promise them it'll always come true. You ready?
Ready.
Okay. The first is, whatever you do, just make commitment. Just burn the boats, man. Just decide you're in it to win it. You have to do that. You have to make that commitment. Then once you make the commitment, you need to put disciplines in life to make sure that your commitment comes true. That means if you have to get up early, if you have to stay up late, if you have to do whatever it is you have to do, you put disciplines in life. Like I was working with one of my clients, and I have this little incantation that I ask them to say in the mornings when they first get up and before they go to bed. Helps get you mentally ready. And so I also ask you that you type it up and you put it in your peripheral vision so you can see it throughout the day. You don't have to read it, just so it's you're aware of it around. So after the next week, I kind of said, did you get it typed up? He goes, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want the stuff all over the house, you know, that kind of stuff. I said, okay, well then just go to the novelty store, get a key of some kind that represents a key, put it on your desk so that it reminds you of your magic key. I have a golf ball on my desk that's called, it's a Nike golf ball. Do you know what the golf ball is there for?
Why?
just to remind me just to do it. People don't have to know why I have a golf ball on my desk, but to me, it reminds me of to do what I'm supposed to do. So then the third thing is decisions. I'll give every one of your listeners today the permission to procrastinate on anything that doesn't take them towards their goals. We all love to procrastinate, but procrastinate on the right things, not the wrong things. So get up with the intent that you're going to get this day done the way you want to. So commit to it. Commit to everything that you do. And then the last thing, fourth thing, is visualization. We think in pictures. There's a beautiful picture hanging on the back of your wall. It looks like a sunset or something along the beaches or something. I can't tell, you know, from the shot. But to me, that would remind me of where I want to be when I retire. I have pictures all over my office, all over my office building, where the right side is an eagle. That's to remind me that if I want to soar with the eagles, I can't hang with the ducks. If I on this wall, on this side of my office, I have a lighthouse. It's just a beautiful scenery of a place, you know, a beach and a lighthouse. But it reminds me of principles, that I have principles that I live by, integrity and honesty and things like that. So we can have little artifacts in front of us that remind us of the things that the visualization things that we want. So they do those four things. If they want a car, if they want a business, if they want an employee, if they do those things, they'll always get it.
That's incredible that, you know, started from a young child, you know, to get these principles going. Working with these big companies and maybe some mid-sized companies, what's the most common mistake you see?
Empowering. Most companies, most people in business micromanage. They grow, they take their business, they grow it into an adolescent format where they know everything, and then they try to hire people. And my rule is you look for potential winners. When I was going, my first mentors told me you're never going to find a winner. A winner has a job. You're looking for that potential winner. So create a career path. One of the things that we did at Radio Shack, we had a big turnover of associates. And the problem was that because they looked for people who could sell good, those people that could sell good, they promoted them to the manager of the store, and then the associates fed the sales to the store manager. Well, Santiago, you're not going to like that. I mean, you got to feed all the big sales that you get to ring up sales with. You're just nothing more than a, you know, cash register person type. So that caused a sieve, that caused people to turn over. So we put a career path in place. So we did that by creating 20 manuals. And those 20 manuals, the first four got you out onto the sales floor. Then every time you completed a manual, you learned something, you got a little tick up in your commission structure. Little tick up, little tick up, little tick up. At the end of 20 manuals, you could sell anything in the store. Now you're progressing. Then you could go on to manager in training and so forth and so on. So that way, you always, like, I established this in my construction company up in Chicago. He has a whole complete training program now, and all he has to do is hire laborers. And then from the labor pool, he picks out his potential winners. They become field supervisors. From his group of field supervisors, he can promote into his project managers. Some people will always be a field supervisor. Some people will always be laborers. That's not for us as entrepreneurs to decide. We just want our people to work where they're the happiest. And if they're the happiest, you know, taking out the trash or being the janitor, let them. If they're happiest running the marketing department, put them in charge of the marketing department. They're going to be more productive if they're happy. You empower them. You let them make mistakes. You let them learn, because from the learn comes our feedback. The feedback causes us to grow. I'll give you one quick story, if I can, about learning from my air conditioning days. My technicians, you can imagine, you know, we've all had service people have to come to our house. And the dilemma here was this. The customers didn't like the fact that we couldn't tell them what time we were going to be there. The technician's voice was, we can't tell you what time we're going to finish because we don't know how long we're going to be there. We could be there for an hour. We could be there for 5 hours. So this is a tug of war. It's been going on in service forever. Okay. So here's my solution to the problem. So we bought two-way radios for our trucks. You had, as a technician, you had 1 hour to fix it. If you couldn't fix it in an hour, you had to get permission to fix it. So you have to call back into the office, and then we would see schedule the board, have our board, you know, scheduling board, so the dispatcher could keep track of where people were going. So the thing is, the question would come back to the technician, ask the customer when they would like it done. Okay, we can get the part, we can do this, when would they like it done? And do you know what the number one answer to that question was?
No.
Can you come back when?
Wow.
Can you come back when my husband's home? Can you come back when my after my father picks up the kids and comes here? Whatever. There was all, because we had interrupted their day. They didn't want to be there. It didn't matter about how hot the house was. There was nobody there anyway. Okay. They needed to get their work done. So we'd say, yes, it's a 2.5 hour job. So Mary Beth, can we get on the call? Yes. After 4 o'clock, perfect. Okay. Then we'd have a truck dispatched with the parts, everything ready to go, and knowing what they were going to do when they got there. Added to our customer service. That we did it on their schedule, and they were very happy about that. Finding ways to do things a little differently than other people do them. When I sold the company, I sold it to my employees. It was 10 years old. I sold it to 5 of the people that I work for. And you know how profitable that is to sell to your employees? 7,000 customers that had done business with me for over 3 years. 7,000 customers had done business with me for 3 years or longer. Okay. And my people, the people that will work there, I think the youngest person I had in the company was 2 or 3 years old, meaning been with me that long.
How important, or would it be wise when a person, when he starts his business, to have a business plan for like the next 5 years, to have expansion, franchising? Is that a good thing to start right at the beginning, or he should not think of that?
Person. No, I wouldn't go in that direction. There are people out there. They're my competitors, the way we call them. They do that, that's out there on the street. But my rule is that we should have a 5-year dream. Santiago, you should have this great big dream of how you want your life to look 5 years from now. Okay, and that includes what your house you're living in. I mean, all aspects of your life. Okay, you should have that as your vision. Okay, or your dream. Then we chunk that down to 1 year. So what can we get done this year that would move us 1 year closer to that 5-year dream? Then we chunk that down to 90 days. And what can I get done in 90 day, 13 weeks? When you work with me, you have 4 years within one. So every year to us is a quarter. So every year we get to restart. Every quarter we get to restart. So that's how, if we things are moving too fast, the world's moving too fast. Just by the time you get something in place, the world changes, you know. So let's just work at 90-day increments because it's easier to manage. And at the end of the 90 days, you restop, you refocus, you have a quarterly meeting. You look at what you're doing instead of annual meetings, you have quarterly meetings. And then you readjust, get your strength back, and get your motivation. And you can stay on target for 13 weeks. And then also learn to work backwards. So that means we establish where we want to be in 13 weeks, and then you put checkpoints at 13 weeks, 12 weeks, 10 weeks, so forth and so on. And then every week, you just stop, take a little checkpoint, see where you are. We're still going to have arcs, but our arcs are going to be smaller, and they're going to be moving towards our goal. They're not going to be like a roller coaster up and down.
Right. Very wise words, Terry. This helps me out a little bit because, of course, I'm also a small business owner, young small business owner, and this is very good content. Which person or entrepreneur has influenced you?
Oh, man, I've had so many. In fact, I recommend to all your listeners to get the book Think and Grow Rich. People said, man, it's an old book, and I would say to them, so is Gravity. You know, it works, you know, so don't quite. It's more and more millionaires, more and more businesses, more and more stuff has been founded off of that one book. But it's implementing the book. So inside the book, there's a section in there talks about masterminds. So get a group of people, surround yourself with people who are, they don't have to be in the same business that you are, but they have the entrepreneurial mindset, or they have a mindset of growing their business or whatever it is. Find mentors, coaches. You know, Tiger Woods has 3 coaches, not one, but he has 3. Okay. one for, you know, for his body, one for his putting, and one for his swing. So those are three different mechanical things that he needs to work on. Another thing that businesses should do is make sure that they have the right people in the business. If you don't have to be the CEO of your company, if you're not a good, you know, Tony Robbins is not the CEO of his company. He is the face of his company, but he has people behind the scenes running that company like a Swiss watch. You know, a lot of companies, board of directors hire, like Radio Shack. It was a board of directors that hired the turnaround team, Lynn Roberts, myself, and others to come in there and turn these stores around when they were failing. You have to bring in the right people to do the right job.
Terry, this is great. Ready for some random questions.
Okay.
What is your spirit animal?
Oh, wow. If you listen to the Chinese, it would be the rabbit. Okay, because I was born in the year of the rabbit. I like to think of myself as an eagle. I fly high above. Most people don't know that eagles, they don't fight. They're not a bird that fights with other birds or other things. They just fly higher. They just keep rising higher until their prey can't breathe. So just keep rising higher.
What job you would not be good at?
Landscaping, cutting grass, plumbing. there's a few that if my dad lived to be 99 years old, but there was I didn't like to paint, I didn't like to cut grass, and I didn't like plumbing.
What would you tell your 15-year-old self?
Stop being a adolescent and start learning from mentors earlier. Don't wait till you get to be 28, 29, 30 years old to take on mentors. There's a great story by Dr. Wayne Dyer, who asked a lawyer after he'd been in practice for a few years, had a family, a couple kids, great practice. And the guy says, I'm just not happy. And he says, well, when did you decide to be a lawyer? He says, when I was in high school. And he said, well, what lawyers did you consult with before you that you took on this goal of being a lawyer? He said, none. He said, well, then let me ask you, what 17-year-old would you consult today?
There you have it. Terry, what is the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is through my phone, 727-422-4771. I know most people don't like, but I do. I love to talk on the phone. I love to do that. Also, my website is ogburnsbusinesssolutions.com. There you can go and click in the contact us box, and there will be a form that they can fill out if they'd like a free coaching consultation with me. No charge, just let's dive into a challenge or some problem that you may be having, and then I can help you with. And again, that's the two best ways to get a hold of me, through my website or through my phone. And I do answer my calls, so it doesn't matter.
And you were saying before that you have a special promo for our audience.
That is, and I mention it again. It's a half hour of my time with them. So all they have to do is either reach out to me via my phone, and we'll set up a half hour for them. Or if they want to go into my website and then click on the contact us button and then just give me their name and email address, I'll reach out to them and we'll set up a time that's convenient for them. We'll discuss a challenge or a problem or something they may be having in some way that I may be able to help.
That's awesome, Terry. And definitely you confirm with me to read the E-Myth Revisited. I think it's very important to have systems. I think a lot of people don't have them in place, even though they have something going on. But I think it's very important. I mean, I've seen different type of organizations, nonprofits, and you know, successful businesses that have great systems, and that keeps them growing and going up. Makes a huge difference. Any closing words?
Yes, just camping out on the systems. When you have systems and you have those things in place, then you can do what most companies do. They hire personality profiling. You probably know that by now. More and more, your big companies using, whether they use the DISC or the Colby or whatever, they use Omni, they have all these different profiling systems. So now major companies are taking and profiling. Their profile for a salesperson is different for their profile for a support person. So that's another thing that your listeners can do, is understand your profile, understand who you are, and then understand the people you're hiring and put them in the right position.
Terry, this is great value, great content, and I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you so much, Santiago. I appreciate you very much for having me on.